Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I'm so glad you're able to join me today. And we're going to continue on in a message, Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. We were looking at important and significant features of the life and ministry of John the Baptist, because Jesus called him great. And as we were looking at the call of John, there were four things I wanted to kind of point out to you regarding his call. One, that this call came to him when he was in the wilderness. And of course, because that wilderness place is a place of solitude, a place in the spirit where you can draw close to God, that this is God's way of working with many of his servants as we look in the Word of God. And so it is in our own lives. We have to, even if our lives nonetheless could be extremely busy, you know, we've got a full-time job, whatever it is, God knows our circumstances, but it, in the Spirit, at least we're able to spend some quiet times with Him. We may not be able to go on a 40-day fast out in the desert, but the Lord works within the parameters of our circumstances, the thing that He's called us to do, to be responsible for. I mean, if you're a mother of children, obviously you can't just say, well, you know, I'm just going to go see God. We have to be responsible, but there's a parallel of waiting on God where and that's the importance of fasting and prayer. I know we don't hear a lot about fasting today, but that's something that a ministry God has given me, because I've always known when Jesus said, this kind come out not only by fasting and prayer, that there is a time in our walk with God, and I believe it should be at regular intervals, depending on how God leads you. Some may have physical conditions or on medication. You know, it's not wise to be fasting on water, but you could fast certain foods that you like, or perhaps, as I do, on vegetable and fruit juices and herb teas, things that are not your normal fare. And God honors that because it's a commitment, a consecration to draw away from the pleasures and the simple joys of this life to seek God and to put Him first. So there's a wilderness place we experience. That's when the call came, when John was in the wilderness. And it says in verse 2 that the Word of God came unto John. And so as we wait before the Lord, the Word of God will come to us, not only a revelation of the written Word, but a revelation specifically what God wants to do in and through us. And today we want to be looking at the effect produced by this call. What happened? Well, doesn't the Word say, by their fruits you will know them? Beloved brethren and sister, if you feel God has called you to a particular task or a mission, what are the fruits? You know, for some, they might mean well, but if they're young and carnal in the Lord and they haven't really matured in the things of God, for them, they may not realize it, but it's actually a building of their own ego, of establishing power and fame, a reputation for yourself, which unfortunately can be the place even in Christian circles. Or on the other hand, will the results of that fruit, if you will, that of your calling, line up with the purposes, the will, and the heartbeat of God Himself? Will it really bring glory to the Lord? What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Beloved, Jesus gave us an example. Before he died, one of the most beautiful acts he ever did was he took a towel, girded himself, and he washed the feet of his disciples. Here he was, the King of Glory, doing a servant's task of washing the dirty, dust-laden feet of his disciples. And beloved, he said, he that would be greatest among us shall be servant of all. He's called us to a walk of humility, a walk of where we're not seeking the approbation, the renown, the well-speaking of others, but we just want to be hid in Christ. I remember years ago, in fact, I'm still in touch with Sister Isabel. She's a part of the Acoma tribe, lives in Albuquerque, but her mother-in-law, who was alive, she's with the Lord now, they would come into the service, and I heard the most amazing stories. I would just, my mouth would be hanging open, hearing about how God used this precious Sioux lady. And she didn't want people to know her name because she wanted Jesus to get all the glory. Beloved, what a precious heart before the Lord. My goodness, isn't this how we should be? Seeking to see, get others, you know, approved of the Lord, to bless them, to encourage them. This is God's heart. And so as we look at John's ministry, what was the effect of John's ministry? In verse 3, it says, he came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was preaching baptism, and that was, what was the purpose of that? Well, it was really an outward sign of a repentant heart. And when someone was willing to be baptized and repent of their sins, they were thereby preparing the way for Jesus Christ for their remission of sins. Those who submitted to John's baptism were afterwards pointed to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's what John said. Behold, here, look at here, he's coming, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's John 1:29. And lastly, we want to look at the character of John's testimony. And we see that there was a fulfilling of prophecy. What does it say? Verse 3 and 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. You know, he was to come and prepare the way of the Lord. It was very evident that John recognized and confessed that this scripture was fulfilled in him before their eyes. Malachi 4:5 refers to John's prophetic ministry of calling men to repentance. Let me read that. Malachi 4:5, behold, I will send you Elias the prophet. And of course, you know, Jesus said, Elias, when people were asking him about that, where he was referring to John the Baptist, he said, he's already come. But Malachi goes on to say, I will send you Elias the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And of course, there's that reference in Luke, the first chapter, verse 17. That's exactly what there was a reference by the angel of the Lord. I'll read that. Verse 17, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient. A little bit of a elaboration there. The disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Praise God. And beloved, that's what we are to do. God spoke many places, in many places about his people, a people who were not a people, who were going to become the people of the Lord. And these prophetic words about what God was going to do in the end days, it would be fulfillment in these latter days of the prophecies of old. There was a marvelous prophecy given in Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, verse 19, and it talks about us. It talks about the day in which we're living. And this is God Almighty speaking, and he says, I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So we see there was a fulfillment of prophecy. And beloved, you know, there's an army of the Lord, the army of Joel, that's going forth in this hour, in this day, and we're you're going to prepare by the ministry, by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Because Jesus said, you know, the gospel is going to have to be preached to all nations of the earth before the end comes, before Jesus returns. And so what are some of the other aspects of John's testimony, or I should say our testimony? There's an abandonment of self. Hallelujah. Praise God. In chapter 3, that verse 4, it says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Hallelujah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. The message that had come through Isaiah 700 years before is now voiced by John the Baptist in the power of the Holy Ghost. And beloved, if you and I want to be a herald for Christ, we must strive to make our voice His voice and not our own, to declare the word of the Lord, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Beloved, you and I are crying in the wilderness of this present dark, evil age. Jesus is coming again. Make straight His paths. Prepare your hearts, for the Lord is coming. And it's not a voice that's singing, but beloved, it's a voice that's crying. We should be mourning, weeping between the porch and the altar for souls to be saved, crying in agony for the will of God to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Thank God for the intercessors who are weeping between the porch and the altar. Ezekiel 9 and 4 says, referring to one of Ezekiel's vision, the Lord is speaking to a man clothed with white linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." Beloved, do you have that divine mark set upon you? Do you have the seal of the Holy Spirit upon your heart, upon your life? Are you weeping for souls to be saved? Do you have a burden for the lost? Are you willing to be that fulfillment of prophecy? Are you willing to abandon self that Jesus might be proclaimed? Praise God. Well, I still have more to share, and we're just going to have to continue on, you know, the next broadcast. I thank you for joining me this week, and I just bless the Lord for the privilege that we have to declare the voice of the unveiled Christ, which is the message given to each one of us, Lord, as Latter-day John the Baptist. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. Thank you for listening. If you have prayer needs, please write, and I'll be happy and privileged to stand with you in prayer. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,